Molas, 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 molas. Molas, 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 molas. Molas, molas, molas.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Rugbiz Podcast, episode 110. That sounds good to say. And I am joined by an incredibly, well, relatively happy Mr. Archie Cousins. You're not sounding very well, though, are you?
Oh, mate, I've pushed it too hard.
You sound like you have.
Jesus. I've pushed it too hard.
Have you slept at all since
Friday? I've slept, mate. I've slept, but my God, Saturday, I had to do a real job. I had to lead the fans into battle.
Right.
And all the chanting, all the singing, all the lash... just caught up
because first half
it's got rid of my chat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when the voice isn't functioning properly, the chat
you sound
isn't
a bit weird, don't you? Yeah, yeah. You're saying the same things. But
I'm in Struggle City, mate. I'm in Struggle City.
Yeah, yeah.
Only one more weekend. One more weekend at Twickers. We can do it. Just got to push through.
You gonna be able to get better this weekend?
I'll be rest this week in order to be in top notch for the weekend. Well, South Africa is gonna be a big game, mate.
Well, I can imagine you really had to put in a lot of effort. I mean, we were absolutely disgraceful in that first half against.
Yeah,
the
I got to say though. Pre-match, mate, I had so much good banter.
Yeah, yeah, was it?
Me and the boys all went for brunch in Richmond.
Okay.
And yeah, my mate Cookie, big shout out to Cookie, who's a PT, he actually ripped his shirt sleeves off, so it's like a tank top.
That's quite cool.
Which is just such good chat.
That was really good chat.
I said to him we should actually get him on, because he's actually quite interesting. Like, the stuff he posts about... food and fitness and also his political opinion is actually really interesting.
Sounds a bit like you, dude.
He's a bit like Joe Rogan. He's quite interesting like that, but like in really good nick.
So
he takes some great photos of him just working out.
Really?
Which is content. I get it, it's business. And like even when he takes photos of him just in the coming out of the shower or just getting changed for a Saturday night. That's still good content.
So it's a really good weekend.
So he was on bloody good form.
Twickers was loose.
Yeah.
And then after that, did you trawl into somewhere dirty?
Well, mate, we hung out by the stadium, mate, and just took in the rugby atmosphere.
Took in the draw.
Oh my God, mate, that Guinness tent was just kicking off.
Really?
Went into the karaoke tent. Oh,
you must have recognised quite a lot.
Oh, mate, yeah. Everywhere you go, mate. I'm Mr. Rugby. Yeah. Me and the rugby guy. Except the rugby guy's more like Disney.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's...
You like Pornhub.
Yeah, he likes goose-stepping. I like just delivering fucking good chat.
Well, Archie, I know we're always looking to change this up and get incredible, exciting people and successful.
Yeah.
Most important.
That's the most important.
Now, I was weirdly doing a bit of BD for your own behalf. I know you've been a bit under the weather. And I saw that Charlie Simpson followed you. Now, you may not recognise the name immediately.
Of course I bloody do.
Oh,
mate.
Yeah, you do. Of course you're
lead singer of Busted.
Yeah, you're a huge Busted fan.
Busted with the soundtrack of my lower 6 years.
Incredible, yeah, mate. What's your favourite tune of them?
In a year 3000.
Yeah,
you just can't beat it.
I thought you liked Air Hostess.
No, I like Year 3000 just because it comes on in Infernos and everyone just absolutely loves it.
But it is very much Infernos tunes. Air Hostess, Year 3000, all those Thunderbirds ago. Well, mate, I realise he followed you.
We've got a lot of musicians. Jack Sav.
Yeah.
Harry Judd.
McBusted.
And now...
Charlie Simpson. It's quite incredible.
This podcast is going to new heights. Shall I just jump on the drumsticks and get a beat going and see if we can get some kind of rhythmic chat going?
Yeah.
Let's get him in.
Oh.
Welcome to the banter zone.
My kids don't come in when they get back from school. It's 2 seconds.
Okay, don't worry.
Oh my God. You've got the most incredible camera I've ever seen.
It's on the new flashy Apple screen they've just released.
Oh, fucking hell.
Nice.
And
nice.
This guy isn't fucking around, is he?
No, that's why I knew you'd be good in the podcast. High net worth individual with high net worth gadgets.
Yeah.
And Clodagh,
I'm all about tech.
Clodagh, you absolutely love music, so you must be having a bit of a moment.
Well, I am. I'm looking at all his, you know, incredible platinum records. I'm looking at his keyboards, his beautiful electric guitar. I've only got a shitty old acoustic guitar here.
So,
are you actually are you in a studio there? A music studio?
No.
Pod/music.
So, I don't know. Do you know that we've had a top 10 single? You probably are aware.
Oh, yes.
It's a phenomenal song.
That's excellent, mate. And to be fair, what a title.
Yeah. We're very proud of it. Yeah. We're very proud of it. We raised a lot of money for charity.
Beat Band-Aid.
Well done.
But also, it's a banger. They play an Infernos at Christmas.
They do.
Everyone just goes, absolutely no. I take my top off. And I'm just like, and they try and throw me out, but I'm like, no, I'm the singer.
Yeah. I'm actually the writer and artist.
How far is your room right now from Infernos in Clapham?
Oh, I mean, I'm at Freddy's now, but where I live is a hop, skip, and a jump.
Whereabouts are you based, Simpson?
So I'm down in Surrey now, but I have had many a night out in Clapham, and I was sort of around the Fulham, you know, Wandsworth area for about 5 years.
Yeah. I used to see you in a pub near the Hurlingham, but just off the in a residential road.
Oh, well, we could have been the Mitre because we lived opposite the Mitre.
Past yeah, the screen, yeah.
That's it. Maybe the Mitre, maybe it is, yeah.
We lived at 69, literally the door opposite the pub with like five lads. We had five of my mates in a four-man house. The two of them had to share a bed for a year. It's kind of weird.
Is this during Busted?
It's a great year. Yeah, no, this is like when they were, my friends came down from uni. And I basically didn't go to uni, so I was like, I want to have the uni experience.
Yeah.
So I basically got a house. I ended up paying all the rent. They just lived there for free. Yeah. And it was like five guys in the house, but we could only get a four-bedroom house. So it was literally just a year of the lash, basically.
Well, Simmer, if you ever want to recreate a university night out, just let me know. I'm very attuned to it. You know, if you want to come...
I felt like I missed out, mate. It's like, I left school at 16 to join Busted, so... Every time I'd do a tour, I'd be going to visit different universities that my friends were at.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I sort of experienced it vicariously through them, but I never had the full lived experience of like going out and coming back to a house and all that stuff.
What about a gap year? Did you ever experience a gap year?
A gap year? No, I didn't. I didn't experience a gap year. And that's, again, something that I'd like to have done. Talking about this, from one of my friends came for lunch at the weekend. Quite like the idea of Ski Le Gap. Did either of you do Ski Le Gap?
No, I spent my gap year in Canary Wharf, but
I went straight to uni to other. But what is
it's like? You go skiing and you do like you become a skiing instructor for you.
Yeah. No, I would love to do that, but
I love skiing, but when I go skiing, it's all about business and you know just the off piste.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's about wearing the right kit and buying the right champagne.
But
that's the look.
But talking about experiences which Charlie May missed out on. We were delighted to announce that this is your 25th year in a row going to Feathers Ball this Christmas.
Yeah.
Are you going to be going, Charlie?
Feathers Ball, remind me what Feathers Ball is.
Oh, it is. I mean, there are three things that you don't want to miss in a social calendar. Polo in the Park, Raffles Rumble, and and Feathers Ball.
Okay.
Feathers Ball is the who's who.
I've definitely heard of it.
It's meant to be for 13-year-olds to 15, but Archie's still
I go.
Attendance.
I'm a chaperone. I chaperone now.
You've had a child, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had a little girl called Johnny Jono Haskell Abendanon. and she's absolutely
congrats, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, she's great. I mean, I don't see her much. She's with the nanny quite a lot, but. she seems fine. She does bugger all.
Wet nurse still there or not?
Wet nurse is still there. I've got various staff attending to her. Good. For a little person who doesn't move, you know, they have
to. It's very expensive.
You can't leave them alone.
No.
Not for a long time anyway.
No.
Definitely not for a long time.
Because I said to the nanny's going on holiday in 2 weeks' time back to her family. And I said, okay, well, like, if I need to go on Saturday night, will she be okay?
Yeah.
And she said, no, you have to be there. Because apparently she has to eat.
That's me silly season though. What are you going to do?
I'm gonna have to. I have to get another nanny. Jesus. I don't know.
A second nanny.
Well, let's say to our listeners, because we're delighted to be joined by Charlie Simpson, who sold over 5 million records in his own right. His band Fight Star, which is sort of the slightly more mature, slightly more sophisticated version of, well, not even version of Busted, but I mean, I wouldn't say a proper band, but a genius band like Busted, whose four albums have all actually gotten the top 40 as well. So a genius musician, and his solo stuff is wonderful. But firstly, Charlie, we haven't actually asked, how did you fall in love, or how did you get to know Mr. Archie Curzon?
Through the wonders of Instagram. I saw him doing one of his monologues to the camera, and I think I started crying when after it was just so beautifully done. And also a lot of my mates I realized follow him as well, so I was like, that's interesting.
Well, we've had, you know, Harry Judd, don't you? Do you know Harry Judd?
Yeah, I went to school with Harry.
Yeah, so Harry's been on the podcast. Harry's a fan.
Told us about Lindsay Lohan, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Lindsay Lohan. Is it exclusive?
How much did he tell you about that?
Oh, a lot. It was an exclusive. We got in the Sun.
He got in the
seven.
Sun and the Daily Mail, which is a real, you know, that's a real highlight for me.
Yeah.
I recently got in the female part of the Daily Mail, the female. And it was
female. What were you there for?
Just, you know, just being in an advert with Mike Tindall and James Haskell. I don't know. You know, those things, just being the voice of the Autumn Internationals.
Famous
they put me
rugby.
In there. And yeah, and you know, the family were really proud. I got a...
You got a message from your dad?
No, I did get a message from my dad, but he read the message. Okay, I sent him the article.
That's progress.
So, yeah.
obviously, Charlie, you went to the wonderful, well, and maybe, you know, you don't think it's wonderful, but I believe you went to, was it Uppingham you went to?
Uppingham School,
and, you know, which is obviously a wonderful a public school. I don't know if you agree, but did you play against?
Yeah, it's a good minor public school.
It's a good minor private school. Okay. and
it's a great mid-table private school.
Yeah.
Obviously,
their third 15 would probably, sorry, their first 15 would probably do quite well against Channel College's third 15.
Right, okay, that kind of
possibly
level.
I mean, I must say, though, my brother was in the first in 2001, and they were unbeaten that season.
Well,
they would have
did they play Channel College?
And it was, I'll tell you who was in there. So, Dan Hipkiss was in that team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Soden was in that team, who went on to play for Northampton, I think. They had two or three. It was just a very good year, but I remember thinking that Uppingham were quite good at rugby. But, I mean, in general, there are definitely better teams, I think, across the board.
Yeah, when I think Uppingham, I think the first word that comes to my mind is dyslexic.
Is it? Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, that's bang on.
Yeah, so that sort of sums it up.
Well, the first word that comes to my mind is obviously musical, and like your family, even your great-great-grandfather, William Sternhill, was obviously one of the greatest pianists of his time. So it always felt destined that you were going to sort of end up in that musical world. But not as, you know, such an early age. 15, 16, you were dragged away from public school. Surely your parents weren't quite happy with that when you said, I'm off to reply to an Enemy advert
to try and
join Busted.
I remember I was literally half-term. And I was like, "Mom, I'm going to get the train down to London." And I don't think they really knew that it was really a thing. Do you know what I mean? They just they thought, "Oh, fine, go and do that." And then I came back that night, and they were like, "Oh yeah, so they want me to be in this band." And they wanted to come back tomorrow, so I went back the next day. And then they said, "Okay, they definitely want me to be in the band, so I'm going to have to leave the school." And they were like, "What do you mean you've got to leave the school?" And I sort of that point, they started taking it more seriously. But I mean, it was kind of weird. I was due to go back to school 3 days later, and you can imagine the phone call to my housemaster didn't go particularly well. But it was, yeah, I then went down to live in a hotel for a few months while we sort of went around the record companies. Meeting them and playing songs.
Simmer, how does that work with your parents? Did you have to fight hammer and tooth for it, or were they relaxed?
It's so weird because when I tell the story, it feels crazy that they said yes, and all their friends were saying to them, "What are you doing? This is crazy. You shouldn't let them do it." But I think that they realised that I'd already sort of checked out school. Like, I wasn't really interested in academics. Like, all I was driving for was to sort of go to music college or do something in music. So I think they thought the battle had been lost with keeping me at school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I had a girlfriend at the time who just left. So, don't know, man. When I look back at it now, I think it wasn't so... It was sort of them. They were amazing about it, but I think they thought, well, you know... Yeah, Charlie's already made his decision.
Now you're a parent, Simo. How many kids have you got?
I've got two.
Two. So if they come to you at age 15, 16, are you going to have a similar principle? Say,
don't know how to answer that question. I hope I do. And I think I will.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very hard question. I think that the music industry now is in a very different place to what it was in 2001. So I would say it's much harder now than it was back then. To sort of carve out a career in music. But then on the other side of it, I feel like kids can make a career in music without needing to leave school, because all they have to do is go on TikTok and Instagram and start playing and finding their own audience. The fact is that in 2001, you had to be found. Do you know what I mean? Now the record companies find you off your own means. So
yeah.
I don't think the situation would necessarily come up when it was like, you know, unless it was sort of guaranteed that what they were going to be given was a record deal off the back of, you know, something substantial. Do you know what I mean? It's just a different era.
I think for me, as a parent, if Johnny, Jono, Haskell, or Bendon, you know, my daughter comes up, Curzon, comes to talk to me, I'll be like, absolutely not. You are going to either PwC, Deloitte, EY.
Yeah, Deutsche Bank, maybe.
You're going to go and do your ACA. You're going to become an accredited accountant.
What about Harlequins scouted them early?
Yeah, that's great. They're off you go. I'll say you can go and be the greatest female rugby player of your generation.
Yes.
And I will say, if you don't make it, don't expect your inheritance. And that would drive her to, you know, be an international rugby player.
Charlie, just give us a feeling of what it was like when you first got down there. Obviously, you've just left school, you're 16, it's half term. The two other guys you're in the band with, I believe, are already selected. So you're the last one to audition against the guy who was actually trying to be, or ended up being, a McFly.
Yeah, Tom.
Just give us a flavour of what it was like.
He was in it for a week, and then they pulled the offer.
Right. Why?
I don't know.
He looks like a hockey player. I think that was it.
They kept in contact with him, and then they sort of started the idea of you know, the McFly stuff, and that's when they met Harry Juddy as well.
Give us a flavour of what that offer was. You just left school, you're 16. How much cash are they waving in your face? What is the five-star hotel like? Just give us a flavour of the
really
lifestyle.
Wave. I mean, they sort of paid for everything at the time. We were staying at the Intercontinental Hotel in Hyde Park, so they weren't, you know, they weren't shying away from spending a bit of money on like, you know, getting it off the ground. But from my memory, we didn't actually earn any money until we went around the record companies. And then we went to visit all the record companies and played in front of their offices. And we played in front of Simon Cowell, and he was like, I'll sign you right now, you know, and he offered us quite a vast amount of money, and we sort of turned it down because we thought that label wasn't right for us, so we ended up going with Island. But it was only when we actually signed on the dotted line and got the first advances that first thing I did was go and buy that guitar.
Which one?
No, the camera didn't move with you, annoyingly.
My favourite guitar has pretty much been on everything I've ever played. Silver PRS. Yeah. It's the guitar that I sort of dreamed of having as a 12-year-old boy, and then I literally went and bought one.
Are you okay, Freddie?
I'm okay. That's a beautiful guitar. But, you know, obviously it was an incredible time in your life, and we're jumping around her a bit, but how pissed off are you that people don't really give you three respect as musicians? I know now they do, obviously they know your background and what you moved on to.
Yes.
But at the time it felt like maybe you were a fabricated band given guitars and you're not actually playing. You write your own songs, you always have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so that's interesting, very interesting way to put it, because the assumption then is very different to what the assumption is now, obviously, because I think people are far more aware. But back then it really annoyed me. You know, I it's one of the main reasons that I left, you know, when Busted was at its sort of height, was because I felt like it just, I felt like the way, and this wasn't even the fault of the band. It was really the fault, I think, of the way the band was marketed at the time, was very much for a young audience. And the fact that the initial reaction was that, you know, we weren't writing the songs and we couldn't play instruments, I really pissed me off, because I was like, you know, that's exactly not what I'm about. And I'm actually all about music, you know?
Well, It must have been quite weird, because I guess when you were in Busted, that was really what fame was. Now fame isn't anything, because anyone could be famous.
Oh, I know. It's terrible.
You can be like, you know, not all there in the head, do a TikTok and get a million, you know, it is quite weird. But I mean, what was that like? Because, you know, I remember getting back from an Exeat weekend, and Hugh Wigsall, who was in the room next to me, said he saw you in London, and it was big news.
I kind of felt, because I was so young, I was sort of shielded from a lot of it, and I feel like if that happened when I was 21, 22, I would have gone a lot more crazy. But don't know, I just kind of, I felt very grounded. I've got a very grounded family around me. I knew that all of that stuff was kind of irrelevant. Like, all I really wanted to do was play music. Do you know what I mean? I didn't ever go into music to sort of live that side of it. I just went in because I love music. Everything happened so fast and I was super young. It's only with experience that, you know, you realize 20 years on, like, fuck, that was a huge moment. And that was, you know, winning Brit Awards and all that kind of stuff. That's the stuff that's really, you know, is humbling now to think about, that you probably didn't think about back then, you know?
Commercial break.
What's up?
I'm scared that my health is slipping off a slithering.
Sit back down, I'm gonna show you how. A flood of greens is gonna save you now.
But I don't know if I need all those vitamins.
You need them to grow big and strong, and that will help y'all.
But I don't really know if it's really, really what I need.
You need a love and laugh, so bitch, listen please. Fucking is a game that you don't need to be a hater. The answer to feeling better lies in your AG shaker. All you need to do is take it once a day, and you're gonna be the fittest man and clap him, okay?
But what about the chickens? Will they still love me?
They love you more cause you're strong and tall.
But what about my daddy? Will he ever call?
There's no way he'll call, but nothing can alter that. Oh. No matter why, vitamins or supplements aside, you're not gonna get Alistair back inside.
Damn, okay, I guess that sounds alright. A load of some made you want one of my home tonight.
And if you click on the link that is down below, we'll give you a free supply of vitamin D just for yo.
We're giving you free vitamin D for a year's supply. We're giving you free travel packs. All you gotta do is click on the link below or go to athleticgreens.com/drinkbeers. Get hold of some AG1 and get that incredible start to your day with over 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food source ingredients to make you feel the best you can. Well, obviously, you released such naughty bangers as Year 3000, What I Go to School For, and you said no. I asked you to dance at the disco, but you said no. You know, you were singing that one earlier.
Oh, yeah, so that was At a Ball. That was written at a. Do you know a ball called The Irresistible?
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Yeah. But, you know, up in York, it was like.
Oh, no, I don't know that one. That's too far north. No, I don't know that one.
Okay, fine. So it's like around York.
There's balls in York. How incredible. Okay.
Yeah. And I went over to this girl and I literally asked her to dance and she blew me out. So I remembered that story because it was like a year before I joined the band and that song is written about that girl at that ball.
Well,
she absolutely crashed and burned. It used to be called Crash and Burn, the song, but we had to change the name because of 9/11.
Yeah, rightly so.
Obviously, that's probably the right thing to do.
We are jumping around a tiny bit, but obviously you go on to form Fightstar during your busted days because my understanding, having done some research, is that you were sick and tired of maybe the simplicity in some of the relationships, the music between the bandmates. You wanted to really push yourself as a musical virtuoso rather than just be doing, you know, slightly more kind of, I don't know, am I wrong?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I sort of came from a rock background. Like,
yeah.
It was like, I really loved Blink-182, and I think that, you know, Busted was sort of doing pop punk music. And, I thought the songs were great, but I was always like, I grew up on Deftones and, you know, Metallica and...
Nickelback,
not so much.
Oh, right. They're my favourite band.
Are they? I mean, they've got some good songs.
Yeah, Rockstar's a banger.
Yeah. So I met the guys at Fightstar and started doing it, and then it just became very, very obvious to me that's what I wanted to pursue. And it was a difficult time because obviously Matt and James didn't want it to finish, but they were amazing to me about it. And the thing about it is that we did get back together in 2016.
But were they amazing? But were they amazing about it? Because the way I read the story unrolling was like, you met these guys at a party, you started a band behind their backs, and they kind of realized without you, they were nothing. As soon as you left, the band dissolved. So surely there were some pretty spicy words. Come on, Charlie. I mean, it's years.
No, honestly, man, there wasn't. They were absolutely incredible about it. And that made me feel even worse. But I was like, you know, had they wanted to carry on without me, that would have been okay. But I couldn't. I think they realised that I couldn't carry on in the mindset that I was in because my mindset actually got pretty dark towards the end, and I was just like, I wasn't content at all. I was everything was sort of making me unhappy, and I was like, the only way I can fix this is to pursue what I want. And that, you know, and a lot of people were angry at me for that, and you know, maybe some fans still are, but it's like, you can't. You know, I have to look out for my own. You know, happiness. Do you know what I mean?
Obviously, your second album was a lot more mature in its sound, its tones, driven from your aspiration to be a slightly more, you know, sophisticated band. But you said you loved Blink-182. Your music was sort of pop punk, and it was all about school and high school and stuff. Is it ever a bit cliche when you get older? Because you listen to Blink-182 now, they're like 55-year-old guys, and they're singing like Mass Class, I Love It, or like In the Gym with Mrs. Jones, like stuff like that. I mean, how do you get around that sort of weirdness in the writing room?
Well, I tell you what's fucking weird, man. Like, in What I Go to School For, the line is, so she may be 33, that doesn't bother me. I'm 38 nearly. So she would now be younger than me. She would now be inappropriate the other side.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not inappropriate.
Not inappropriate. I'm in my...
What do you think's appropriate,
Archie? I'm in my early 30s, and I regularly date girls who are 19, 20.
Do you?
Yeah, but
where do you meet them? Do you meet them at Inferno?
I meet them at Inferno's, and I just get chirping to them. And I think initially they think I'm about 21, 22. But only when I come back.
You're older than Charlie, aren't you?
No. Okay. I'm younger than Charlie.
Right, okay.
God, no. I'm not. I'm in my early 30s, Clovis. Okay.
Early's a big one.
But yeah, okay. No, I think just girls see me and just want to, you know, fast pace. Right, like I'm like a race car. But I mean, some people say that's inappropriate. I say, you're only as young as you feel.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, I think people are getting a bit silly with the word, you know, what people would have thought was appropriate back then, probably not quite appropriate now. So.
Yeah, times are changing.
Obviously, that was a crazy 3 years, though, those first two albums, and we'll touch on America in a second. But what was the most sex, drugs and rock and roll kind of moment in those 3 years? Obviously, you were younger, but you must have seen something.
Yeah, honestly, it's really disappointing for you as a story, as it was stories, but back then it was pretty tame, man. I got much crazier later on in life. But those times, I remember, like, I don't remember like a moment that was like, I mean, Matt did throw a TV out of the window, hotel window once, which is pretty cliche, but I think he was doing it because the guy interviewing him was baiting him, saying you'd never do that. And so he literally just picked up the TV and threw it out the window.
Wow.
Which is pretty dangerous. And he got in a lot of trouble. But yeah, I think that it wasn't like that crazy, you know, it was pretty reserved.
When I went on my first rugby tour, I had to retrieve a pencil from Marcus, I can't remember his surname now, Marcus Carter. My first rugby tour went on, Marcus Carter was the prop and I had to retrieve a pencil from his anus.
Really? I mean, the thing is, rugby tours, I feel like rugby tours are just as raucous as music tours.
Yeah, I think there could be a collab there. Like the Clapham Falcons go on tour with Nickelback and we just see who's looser.
Excellent. Excellent.
That could be a good ITV4 show. Write that down.
Yeah,
write that down.
I'll
pitch it to them.
Charlie, let's quickly get back to Busted, because obviously you go to America pre-breakup, you do this wonderful series with MTV where they basically...
Well, that wasn't a wonderful series.
But it was wonderful to...
You could call that a lot of things, but wonderful series is not one of them.
It was wonderful to watch because you were just an angry young man. Screaming at every decision.
That's when the wheels started to come off.
Yeah, and the other guys were kind of getting involved as well. But I had a feeling that they were actually kind of quite chilled, whereas you were just like, I've fucking had enough. Every time they said Teenager, Disney, Boomerang. But basically, you're a rock band and you were made to play on Disney TV, weren't you? You ended up doing the Thunderbirds theme tune, which is actually pretty cool. But just tell us why and how everything fell apart in America.
Yeah, because like basically they said... You know, let's do this TV show, America or Busted. My mindset was just veering away at that point to think that I'm not sure I want to do this anymore. And then obviously to have cameras in your face 24/7 is really annoying anyway. But especially if you're, you know, not enjoying what you're doing as much. But, you know, it was a good fun thing to do when we went over there. But I just remember thinking to myself, it's funny you say that. I wondered if my anger did sort of rub off on screen, maybe too much of it did. And the thing is, it wasn't really working. That's the thing, like, it wasn't really working the way they wanted it to work. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't connecting in the way they wanted it to connect. So it just felt like it ended up being this kind of slog, and we were just traveling on a bus for a long, you know, literally just going back and forth across America, just visiting radio stations. And I just, in my own head, I was like, no, I don't think I want to do this anymore. So that America, I look back at that America TV show, just kind of thinking that was the beginning of the end for me. You know?
Okay, well, we're talking about being back in business or being sort of out of business. You did 11 sold out shows in a row at Wembley, which was a record and it still stands, I believe. And then the breakup came. How did you actually break the news to them? And also, how painful was it to see immediately after Matt have to go to a clinic to sort of rehab place to sort himself out?
Yeah, so the stuff with Matt, I wasn't actually that aware of.
Right.
That sort of all happened after the band had finished. But I remember that again. I remember the conversation being much easier than you would imagine, because I think it wasn't like it was what some big shock horror. Do you know what I mean? It's like it was just slowly coming down to the fact that that was probably going to happen. And I remember the record company, like the exec. Biggest exec at Universal, like above all the other execs, you know, global exec basically, called me, you know, wanted to have a meeting with me. And I said to my management, I'm not going to that meeting because I know what the meeting's going to go like and I don't really want to do it. And so I just said, I'm not going. And that was like, I don't think that, I think most 18 year olds don't turn down meetings like that. So I think they were kind of aghast, like, what do you mean you're not going to go to the meeting? I was like, you know, I kind of made my decision. There's not anything to talk about.
Do you think you would have trebled your...
I know what that conversation would have been. Oh, but you'll get this much money and you'll get this and you'll get this and you'll get this. And I was like, I don't want any of that. You know, I just want to be and get out of bed and be happy.
See, that's where we differ. I would have been well up there.
Yeah, yeah. What would you have done in that situation?
I would have just gone to Vadalobo for a month and just absolutely, you know, all...
Well, you said, look, I'll stay if you get me a yacht in Ibiza.
Yeah, I would. Well, not. I mean, Valdelobo or even like maybe skiing for a month in Val d'Isère.
Skiing for a month, you know, all these things. I'm thinking in hindsight now, maybe. Yeah.
Or I would have taken that money and invested it in the built-on market early on. And, you know, that
in the
would
what?
Have, in the built-on market.
Oh, these are the Bitcoin market.
No, built on. I'm one of my main jobs in the city. I get high net worth individuals to invest in built on.
You do?
Yeah. That's a high protein snack. So let me know if you want to invest. The market is very buoyant.
Is it a good investment?
Oh yeah.
Lots of people have been complaining.
No, the market, it dips and it comes. It's bloody good.
Okay.
I've been in for years and I haven't seen the market this bloody buoyant in quite some time.
Obviously, Charlie, you had a 10-year sort of break, actually longer than 10 years, but 10 years after leaving and the band, you know, deciding to not go on any longer, they decided to reform with McFly, which was quite...
Yeah, it's an old Juddy, the Juddmaster.
Yeah, which was quite a coming together, I must say. But obviously, they sold thousands of tickets, did some big tours. Were you not tempted? I mean, how much money did you turn down? How much money did you miss out on not doing that tour?
I don't know, but again, it was like... I that just wouldn't have worked. You know, apart from me knowing Juddy, their relationship with McFly was a lot more... They sort of knew those guys a lot better than I did. And at that time, I just wasn't... I was doing my solo stuff. And, you know, I was talking to Matt and James more than... Because there was about 7 years where we didn't really talk at all. And we were talking at that point. And sort of I thought, you know... Maybe when the time's right, we can do something again. But that wasn't the right time.
Charlie, admit it. You would never, ever play McFly's music. It is completely below you. For a man who is playing incredible music with like proper bands and writing real stuff,
I've got to draw
winning
a fucking
awards,
line somewhere, mate.
Yeah, yeah. You've got to draw the line at McFly. I'm sorry. We've had Harry Jard on the pod, but right, you having to play fucking McFly's three chords would have been below you. Admit it.
Yeah.
But obviously, 2 years later, let's talk about that, because you did rejoin the band with the original lineup. You said, get rid of McFly. Harry Judd's a good friend from school, but it's time to get rid of him and their awful songs. But you sold over 100,000 tickets in the first hour of release. You'd always said that you'd never rejoin the band. So what actually did change, apart from the 3 million reasons?
Oh, I tell you what it was. It was we went to Philadelphia on a secret writing trip. And I said, look, if we go into the room and we write some stuff that we'll get pumped on, then great. And we did. And we wrote... The album, which came out after that, was called Night Driver, and it was like completely different sounding record. I think it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, me too.
And it's like sort of like an 80s drenched synth pop thing, which I loved, and that really excited me. So I thought, okay, well let's do that. I mean, it surprised a lot of the fans, but it was cool.
Were you ever curious to let the other two try and write a McFly album just to see what do you think it would have sounded like? Would they have been able to get a top 10?
Well,
like
James did write a lot of the McFly songs.
Oh, really? I thought you just
James did write
control.
A lot of the McFly songs at the beginning. I mean, a lot of that first album is actually James.
Okay.
From Busted.
Well, that's your favourite album, isn't it?
I love that album, but not as good as the Nickelback album. I'm sorry, I'm just going to say.
Nickelback has got some bangers for sure.
Simmer, you know, I respect you. You know, your quiff back in the Busted day was the quiff I wanted, but... I hate to say it, Nickelback for me, it's Nickelback or nothing.
Really?
Yeah, Wanna Be a Rock Star, it's such a banger.
Obviously, you've been in the industry for 20 years plus, which is just completely crazy because you're still a young man. Famously, an industry where artists are ripped off. Archie, you alluded to earlier, so did you. But what's the worst thing you've witnessed like during your 20 years? Like,
oh, what, being ripped off?
Yeah.
Bad. My accountants ripped me off. They stole money, basically.
Go on.
I mean, I probably shouldn't talk about it.
Okay.
Let's legally. Just say I've had funds vastly mismanaged.
Jesus.
To a point where I had to take legal action.
Have you done work with Archie's company?
Simo, next time you want your money managed, let me know, because you know what?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Should have given it to you.
You give me $500,000 and I will give you, a considerable amount back in built-on.
Do you know what? There's been a couple of times where actually people and someone else took money. Yeah, I mean, people are in this business are out to fuck you, basically.
I'm glad I work in the city because I expect it. I work in the city where everyone's out to fuck everyone, and it's quite
exactly.
It's quite exciting. I
mean, and the point is that what's shocking about we were so young at the time, so you know, much more impressionable. Now I'm much more sort of in control of it myself, but back then. You know, I sort of relying on my dad to help me out, really.
Obviously, you're one of the most famous musicians still are in the country. You're now settled down with the wonderful Anna Barnard. You've got two kids, as you said earlier. But did you ever have a bit of a partner in crime who may also be living in the celebrity worlds?
No, not really.
Really?
I had this thing where I didn't want to be with anyone that didn't know me before other people knew me. As in, I had this thing where... So when I was with a girl for a long time from school, and then when I broke up with her, I just went and tried to be with all the girls that I liked at school... that knew me before.
Yeah.
So through Facebook, I sort of I'd like email them, ask them out on dates. The girls that I fancy at school, you know.
Girl, they must have loved that. Famous man coming in touch.
My technique is if I meet a girl in Inferno, it's these, you know, these 18 to 20 year olds, which are legal, I just take them aside and I just show them all my Instagram videos. And that takes a good couple of hours, but then by that time, they're really up for it.
You've been absolutely incredible. We're just going to finish up by asking really what the plans are for the future. Obviously, you've had two incredible solo albums come out recently, which have been critically acclaimed. The stuff with the Five Star, Busted, you know, have had some wonderful sort of comeback stuff. But what's the future?
I mean, I think there is definitely rumblings of doing Busted stuff. Again, obviously, you've got the 20-year anniversary coming up. So, yeah, we're just sort
is that next year? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to announce an arena tour for Busted next year, essentially. Just give me a rough idea. Is that life-changing amount of cash, just that arena tour? It must be.
Depends if you sell it.
Well, mate, you sold 100,000 in 1 minute.
We'll sell it, and I'll get a cut. It will be a life-changing amount of money, I think. And by the way, we are all planning, me, Simo. Oh,
if we do some shows... There's got to be a lash up after.
Oh yeah, 100%. And I think just talk to James and Matt about investing in Biltorn, taking that money, coming with me on the Biltorn journey. It'll be absolutely lovely. I think Matt would love it because he likes to keep in shape.
Yeah, I think he would like it actually.
Well, Charlie Simpson, you've been absolutely incredible.
Simo,
mate. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, guys.
We really loved having you on.
Massively appreciate your time. Thank you very, very much.
All right, guys.
Mate, love and champagne.
Thanks, mate. Love and champagne.
What an absolute
legend. Yeah, yeah.
Public school boy.
Yeah, really good guy.
Yeah.
I didn't expect anything less, to be honest.
No.
Superb.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Award winning.
I think the Rig Biz Lister will be very satisfied this week. You're welcome. Has it cost them anything? No, it hasn't.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely brilliant.
You're bloody welcome.
Yeah, they are actually.
Well, Archie, I know it's absolutely heartbreaking to try and actually deliver this because you still haven't properly stomached it. But there's no clever story this week.
Yeah, I thought as much.
Really? Are you okay with it?
Yeah. To be honest, if there was 1 week not to have a clubhouse story, it's this week. I can't bloody speak.
Yeah, true. You're absolutely exhausted. It's time you should probably go back home. Yeah. And rest, recuperate, and get ready for.
Oh, mate. Yeah, this weekend's going to be the big one.
I'm guessing from now till the end of the week, till obviously South Africa, you're going to have a quiet one. You're going to be relaxed.
Yeah. Just
watching the football.
Get my head down and do some business. No, I will not be watching Kev Ball.
Oh, what, because of the political stuff?
Oh, no. I would holiday in Qatar in a heartbeat. Right. Sounds phenomenal. We just don't like Kev Ball. It's bloody boring.
Right, okay.
Well, they're all falling over the place. I'd love to see if Harry Kane could actually survive taking a little pop on the inside straight into a flanker. Probably couldn't.
No, probably get completely
That's what
destroyed.
Frustrates me. They're not even hard cladders. No, I won't be watching Kev Ball. If anything, I'll be re-watching Six Nations Classics or Autumn International Classics.
Just getting ready for that last game. Yeah. I am a bit worried because if you sound like this going into silly season, is that not going to affect your BD going forward? I mean...
If I had no arms and no legs, I'd still be absolutely fine for silly season.
Right,
it's just a mindset.
Okay.
Don't you worry, mate. So I'm absolutely okay. I've just lost my voice.
So for silly season, you would still lash every
I was in
night.
The gym this morning, mate, lifting heavy tin.
Okay.
It's just my voice, mate.
Okay.
Everything else is working.
But then you live off your
my
chest.
My muscles,
you live off your chest.
My hair,
you
my bowels, everything's working.
Is that because of Athletic Greens? Still in good company?
Yeah, it is. I'll tell you what. If anything, normally when I get a sore throat, I'm down and out, but not with Athletic Greens. I feel absolutely marvellous.
You're energised. You just sound a bit under the weather.
Yeah. That's what happens when you support England at Twickenham and deliver an unbelievable last 20 minutes in the stands, and then that reflects on the pitch. Job's a good one. You take this sore throat for the draw.
Well, I'm glad that you've got the commitment to keep England going. Archie, wonderful. You know, why don't you go back, rest up. Next weekend, we've got a big old guest, so I look forward to seeing you then. But have a good weekend after that.
Can you just check something for me?
Yeah, sure. Mate, what the hell are you doing? Why are you putting your ass on this?
I just have a couple of shaving this morning down there.
No, mate, you're fine.
Is there a cut there? Hold it.
No, mate. Oh, mate, you'd have to spread your... No, you're fine.
I'm in danger with your love. I'm in danger with your love. Let me lay here in your love. Let me lay here. Oh, no, looks like we're in this thing together. Oh no, looks like it keeps on getting better. Why suddenly would I rather be with you than anyone? Why do I feel like the world is ending too? It looks like I'm in danger whenever I look in your eyes. It's strange.